Good morning, and you're all very welcome this morning. We are continuing in our study of Colossians, and we are in Colossians chapter 3, looking at verse 5 through verse 17. Now, many years ago, I worked a summer job at a natural gas pipeline relay station. The natural gas was sent through the pipeline system from the refinery, and it came to our station, and we kept the flow going, and it branched off into different directions. I had nothing to do with the machinery, thankfully, and everything to do with cutting grass, painting buildings, cleaning up messes, and other assigned duties. One day I arrived to work with flooding in the basement of one of the engine rooms. Now, from the basement, you could access these massive engines from below, but at that moment, the basement was 3 feet deep in water. So guess what I got to do? I was hip deep in water, helping to clear out debris and clear the drains. And guess also who was not given waders to wear? My clothes were soaked in a mixture of water, motor oil, and who knows what else. When I got home, my mom told me to strip in the garage. She tossed me my swimming trunks, and then she hosed me down with the garden hose in the backyard before I was allowed into the house for a shower. All the clothes were just thrown away, even my shoes. So now, after I had showered and scrubbed myself clean, what if I put on the mucky old clothes? What would that accomplish? Would I still be clean? No, I would have gone back to my dirty, smelly, oily, oil-soaked self. My mom would have gone berserk. Putting on the old dirty clothes totally reversed my cleansing process, and I would have to put off the old and wash myself clean again. And that's the issue Paul is explaining in this section of scripture. He's telling the church not to put on the old anymore, but keep putting on the new. Why would you want to put on the old, sin-stained rags of your former life when you have pure, holy new clothes to put on? In chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul reminded them that since they had become followers of Christ, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you are taught. Then later in chapter 2 and first few verses of chapter 3, Paul warned them about the false teachers, that they had freedom in Christ. Don't let anyone pass judgment on you. Don't let anyone condemn you. Don't follow man's rules and regulations, but seek the things above and set your mind on these things, which is all about Christ. And now Paul is telling them not to go back. Don't go back there. Don't go back to your sinful past. Take off those old clothes and put on the new, the things that you are seeking above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek those things, set your mind on those things. And so in today's verses, Paul makes it clear what is earthly and what is heavenly. Putting off the old, be renewed so that we can put on the new and allow Christ to work in us. So let me read Colossians 3, 5 to 17. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, have you noticed the pattern in this letter? Paul uses contrasts. Our status with Christ as we are buried and raised with Him in chapter 2, verse 12. We've been buried and raised with Him. We've died with Christ and we've been raised with Christ in chapter 2, 20 and chapter 3, verse 1. And put to death or put off and put on in today's verses. He uses that death and life and old and new pattern to explain our spiritual condition. Before Christ is our old self, which leads to death, and that's explained today in verses 5 to 11, while the rest of today, verses 12 and 17, explains our new life in Christ. Put off the old, put on the new. Now, first, Paul reminds us what to put off. It's just not put off, it's put to death. What is earthly in you? The imagery is that since Christ died for us and our sins, we need to die to our past. Our former sinful state is dead to us now. Put to death, put off, push behind. Never look back on the things of this world that have enslaved us. Those things are not who we are anymore. And Paul gives two lists of five sinful activities. And the first set of five lists sinful passions: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is also greed. Paul reminded the church that these sins of passion will incur God's wrath. These are all forms of idolatry. In Romans chapter 1, when Paul explained in great detail the sinful lusts that men live by, three times he said, God gave them up. God gave them up to their own impurity. He gave them up to dishonorable passions. He gave them up to a debased mind. You know, sometimes God's wrath is not what He does towards man, but what He allows to happen because of man's sinful state. He allows man to bring wrath upon himself. Paul reminded the church in Colossae that in these you too once walked, when you were living in them. Paul then says, but now you must put them all away. Why now? Well, because now you are alive in Christ. They have died to their old life and been raised in Christ Jesus in newness of life. So now, because you are walking in Christ, you need to put these things off. Put them behind you. You're no longer living like that anymore. And Paul gives the next list of five sinful practices: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene speech. Wrath describes someone who judges other people. They take God's place. Malice means a plan to do evil towards someone. Slander means to defame someone. All of these are examples of obscene speech. None of these in either list are productive and positive, but they're all negative and they tear down other individuals. Paul then makes this personal within the church. Don't lie to each other. You are followers of Christ now, and you're working together within the church. Don't lie to each other. Put off the old self. Put off the old passions and practices. Now, there are a lot of things in our lives that need to be renewed on a monthly and yearly basis. Our cars need the NCT tax, motor tax, insurance. We need prescriptions renewed for medication, for eyeglasses, our mobile service, TV tax, various monthly subscriptions. They need to be renewed. Membership fees need renewed each year, but none of these renewals require us to put to death the old and put on the new. I mean, our monthly and annual renewals are just continuing what we had. When it comes to our spiritual well-being and our relationship with Christ, as opposed to our life before Christ, the idea of renewing is much different. It's more of a reset. Our minds before Christ were dwelling on the things of this world, earthly things, sins of passion. But when we are in Christ, our minds must be renewed. As Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." We don't conform to this world. We don't let the world sway us from God's truth, but we study God's truth, seeking Christ and heavenly things, and setting our mind to change and live by following Christ. We allow our minds to be transformed by His truth. We are renewed by Christ Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Just as Paul had said earlier in chapter 1, verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's who Christ is. In Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 tells us to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Our old self is self-righteousness and impurity, while our renewed life in Christ reflects God's righteousness and holiness. When we are renewed in Christ, we are together with all who follow Christ. There are no favorites. There are no special places in heaven for different people. When we get to heaven, there will be no Greek or Jew, no difference between concerning circumcision, rich or poor, free or slave. If you are a follower of Christ, then you are with Christ, and we are all together in Christ. So by being renewed in Christ means we are putting on the things we are seeking, that we are seeking. We're putting on the things that we were seeking in the heavenly places. Now, since I do a lot of hiking, I go through hiking shoes and boots regularly. The older shoes feel comfortable for a time, but then as the treads wear out and the insoles grow thin and need replaced, then I try on new shoes. I need to get new shoes. And when I try them on, I know the ones I want. When my feet feel like they've had a sense of relief, those feel good. The new shoes and the boots are refreshing for my feet. Well, God's truth, His goodness and characteristics that we put on gives our souls a feeling of refreshing, a feeling of relief. As Jesus told us to give Him our burdens so that we can have His peace, so will our souls feel God's goodness and renewal when we focus on Him, when we set our minds on the things of heaven. And before we look at the list of godly characteristics, Paul reminds us of who we are in Christ. We are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. There is a comfort to know that God not only wants us, but He chose us. God knows who will choose to accept His Son, Jesus. God knows who will reject Him. God desires that all would return to Him and be saved. And at the same time, He knows not all will do so. The people who accept and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are God's chosen ones. Those who accept Jesus as Savior are holy and beloved by God. Holy because of the righteousness of God, and beloved because of their belief in Jesus. Because of this, we have put off the old, being renewed by Jesus, and we put on the new, which is the godly characteristics. Look at this list. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. These attributes are quite the opposite of the earthly things, the worldly things that Paul had mentioned. The world is full of lust, arrogance, and pride. God's attributes are compassion, kindness, mercy, humility, gentleness, and patience. These attributes replace the sinful passions within our hearts and minds. These are God's passions. Think back to the place I worked at that summer that I mentioned earlier. The man I worked for was named Trapper, and he was this gruff, foul-mouthed, angry man. He swore at me all the time, and he gave me the hottest, dirtiest jobs. Little did I know, but his wife went to the local Presbyterian church and had been praying for him for decades. My mom told me years later that Trapper had gotten saved and was in church every week. He cleaned up his language. He was one of the kindest men in town. His heart and mind was renewed by God from a life of sinful passions and practices to a renewed life in Christ filled with the attributes of God. He put off the old life. He was renewed in Christ, and he put on his new life in Christ. When we are filled with the attributes of God, that makes it easier to learn to live with each other. As Paul said, bearing with one another. Each of us have our unique personalities, and we do need God's help in bearing with each other and forgiving each other. Why? Because the Lord forgave us. That's the ultimate reason. When he forgave us of our sins, he was forgiving us of our sins that were against him. I mean, forgiving our sins, all of them, but mostly all of our sins are against him. Before Christ, we were at enmity against God. We were enemies of God. In Christ, we are now known as sons of God, God's chosen, holy and beloved, which means before Christ, because Christ forgave us, we should forgive each other. And how do we do this? In love, God's love. Above all these things, put on love. Love binds to everything together in perfect peace, in perfect harmony. It is not our love, but the love of God. As the old hymn says, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The wandering child is reconciled by God's beloved Son. The aching soul again made whole and priceless pardon won. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every one a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Romans 13 tells us, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in the word, in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And in 1 Corinthians, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And Jesus said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, the world notices. If we are reacting to situations and interacting with people because of the love of God in our hearts, and not with arrogance and pride, the world notices. By loving people through God's love, we are fulfilling the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Be exhibiting the love of God in our daily lives. Then we can be patient, kind, compassionate, humble, meek, and merciful. We truly cannot do any of the attributes of God if we don't have his love within us. Above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in harmony. Now what happens when you are walking in Christ, having exchanged the old from the new, for the new? When we exchanged our old life with our renewed new life in Christ, Paul has gone so far as saying, we have put on Christ. Christ is reflected in us. In Galatians 3:27, Paul wrote, for as many of you as were baptized in Christ, you have put on Christ. In Romans 13:14, Paul said, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." When we are baptized, that's the image of dying to the old man, the old sins, and being raised up in our new life in Christ. By putting on Christ, we are putting on His godly attributes. We are leaving no place in our lives for the old earthly pleasures. We are living for Christ and allowing Him to live and work within us. So that being said, there are three ways to follow, to allow Christ to work within us. And the first is that we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Our lives, our hearts, are changed because of Christ. With the love of Christ in our hearts, we can only change for the better. David saying, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Several times, the prophet Ezekiel, in his book, the Lord told Israel to put away their heart of stone, and He will give them a new heart and a new spirit. That was a prophecy of Jesus, that we have a new heart in Christ and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Our old ways, our old passions fade away, and we are renewed in Christ. And the second is that by putting on the new, putting on Christ, we let the Word of Christ dwell within us, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom. We learn and we grow in our faith in Christ. His word, the Bible, teaches us through godly wisdom. Remember, Paul is writing to the church. He's not writing just to an individual. He's writing to everybody in the church. We can accept his teaching for ourselves individually, yet each one of us within the church must be doing this so that we can help each other out, so the church grows. If each of us are in God's word daily, reading and studying His Word, then we can encourage each other, teach each other, admonish each other in a loving manner. In Christ's love, because Christ's love binds everything together in perfect harmony. And the best way to encourage each other together, to praise the Lord together, is singing praise and worship together, like we did earlier, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Notice that those three descriptions covers all song styles. Biblical-based songs, the Psalms, hymns, which are usually based on biblical doctrines, and spiritual songs, which includes the new songs, songs that are written due to the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Music has always been of great importance to the church and to the worship of God. The Psalms is the hymnal for the Jews. Our hymnal, the Mission Praise, was put together for Billy Graham's visit to England in 1984. Over 100 songs were selected from other hymnals to be used in this hymnal for the worship service before Mr. Graham preached each night. And since then, over the last 40 years, other old hymns and new spiritual songs have been added to that hymnal. And the whole reason is to help the church worship the Lord together in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And third, in whatever we do, whether by our words or by our deeds, we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. If we have followed the Lord to rule in our hearts and we are reading and studying His word, then everything we do and say must be influenced by Him. Not only influenced by Him, but because of Him. Because of our new life in Christ, our speech has changed. We now think and react differently. Our deeds have changed. The attitude in which we work and interact with other people must be changed. Every part of our lives is now influenced by Jesus. I'm not working for myself, for my own personal gain. I'm working for Christ and allowing Him to change my heart. Trapper's heart changed. Everything he did in life changed. His speech changed. The way he treated people changed. He even started teaching Sunday school. That was a man who allowed Christ to change everything about him. Now, there's one thing that I purposely waited until now to mention. And what should be our reaction to allowing Christ work in us? Thankfulness. Let Christ rule in your heart and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through Him. Give thanks. Be thankful. Why? Because without Christ, we are dead in our sins and our old way of life. We have no hope. But with Christ, putting on our new self, being renewed by Him and putting on Christ, we have freedom in Christ. We have everlasting life in Christ. We have compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love because of Christ. Now let me close with these words of Paul from Ephesians 2, which summarizes and explains where we were before Christ and what we now have in Christ. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in our sin, our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where are you in your relationship with Christ? Do you need to take off the old sins of your past and put on the new godly passions we have in Christ? Are you ready for Christ to renew your heart and work within your life? There's no better time than today to decide to live for Christ.